They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Breakfast of Champions.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Scramble in some retail numbers, some decent, others not so much. Add a sprinkling, and by sprinkling I mean an indication of bank success. And top it off with some unemployment numbers that, while still rancid, could have tasted really bad. It is a concoction that's being served up in Lower Manhattan this morning. Dow is up about 2.2%, 170 points at this hour. The NASDAQ up 2.5%. S&P 500 shares up about 2.5% as well. Quick check of Europe, mostly higher at this hour. The FTSE's up 1.5%, 3 and 4% gains in Asia today. All right, let's bring in Marketplace's Steve Henn for some due diligence on these numbers. Steve, we had thought stocks would be a bit tepid today with retail numbers out. Give us the blow-by-blow.
Well, last night, Costco released its numbers, and they were a little bit worse than expected. Everyone was looking for Costco and Walmart and these big discount chains to sort of blow us away and report that, you know, American consumers were shopping for bargains and retail sales, same-store sales were up. That really hasn't panned out. Walmart, about an hour ago, released some pretty disappointing same-store sales numbers. They underperformed what analysts were expecting pretty dramatically. And so you know, for some, it looked like this morning wasn't shaping up to look so hot.
So, but now we have a rally going on, and that's got a lot to do with Wells Fargo and this guidance that they put out, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, if this is our breakfast this morning, Wells Fargo fortified it with this guidance vitamin, right? Wells Fargo projected $3 billion in net profit for the first quarter, which was almost twice what analysts on Wall Street were looking for. The bank said it expects to earn 55 cents a share, that its purchase of Wachovia is going smoothly, that it's earning lots of money right now from mortgages and mortgage refinancing. And its stock shot up on this news more than 20%, and it brought all the other financials along with it. So it really sparked a pretty dramatic rally, which is what we're seeing right now.
And last hour, Steve, of course, we got unemployment numbers. Not so bad, right?
Well, it was a little bit of a surprise. Wall Street was expecting these numbers to be worse. About 654,000 people filed jobless claims last week. You know, and objectively, that's not a very good number. But many analysts thought it would be worse. So, you know, some folks are taking heart and thinking maybe, just maybe, the labor market is beginning to show a little bit more strength. And if that's true, that's obviously good news for everybody.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Washington. Steve, thank you.
Sure thing.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The Treasury Department's poured a lot of money into banks to jumpstart the American housing market, but some of those financials seem to be jumping on a different bandwagon. They're refusing to lend to certain condo complexes, regardless of a buyer's credit history. It's a trend that's slowly spreading all across the country. From WLRN in Miami, here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
The names on the Bank United blacklist evoke an era when buying a condo was like minting money. The Jade, Sunset Harbor, Quantum on the Bay. In all, 191 complexes made the list because they're saturated with speculators or prices are in freefall. Most of the condos are in Miami. Bank United declined to comment on its non-permissible projects list. Donna Berger is executive director of the Community Advocacy Network. She says properties on the list are essentially untouchable.
if Mrs. Smith goes to sell her unit, she's now going to have a problem, her potential purchaser, in finding a lender who's going to make a loan in that unit in that community. She's stuck.
Analysts say other banks are drawing up similar blacklists on projects in Nevada, Michigan, and California, though the lists are rarely made public. The problem is compounded by tough new lending standards enacted last month by government-backed Fannie Mae. Before Fannie will write a mortgage in any new condo building anywhere in the U.S., 70% of units should be sold. It used to be just 51%. Analysts say one in four condo buildings in South Florida could be shut out of financing from Fannie and other lenders that take Fannie's lead.
When a lender won't lend in a building, that's basically the death of the building.
That's Jeremy Resnick. He's with Upside Down Florida, a firm that helps people who owe more than their home is worth.
If no one can get financing, no one can buy the available units, eventually those units go into foreclosure. When multiple units go into foreclosure, homeowners association fees aren't being paid, so the common areas don't get kept up. The cable gets cut off. The electricity gets cut off. It's a spiral that goes out of control.
Experts say with blacklists, banks are trying to turn back the clock on their loose lending practices. But they can't erase the dozens of gleaming condo towers that have emerged over the past decade, or the thousands of people who staked their fortunes on a piece of real estate in the sky. In Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
We know full well about the troubles of General Motors, and the company's efforts to stay out of bankruptcy. It's looking to sell pieces of its history. And starting today, antique cars from its private collection are being sold. Joel Rose reports.
A 1920 Chevrolet truck and a 78 Corvette pace car from the Indianapolis 500 are just a few of the historic vehicles on the block this weekend. GM is selling the cars at an auction in Palm Beach, Florida, to raise cash and save on warehousing costs. You might expect that a deep recession would be the wrong time to put a bunch of classic cars on the market. Not so, says one expert.
The collector car market has been remarkably solid.
Rick Carey is the auctions editor at Car Collector and Victory Lane magazines. This is the second time this year that GM has put historic cars up for sale. Carey says more than 200 cars went on the block in January.
And the collectors showed up with dollar bills falling out of their pockets to buy them, and they paid some very serious money for them.
Compared to stocks and real estate, Carey says classic cars are looking more and more like a decent investment vehicle. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
We're keeping an eye on the markets, the Dow up about 2.5%. More at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.